Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, titled, The Whole Family in Heaven and Earth. As you watch and listen, you may have questions or a comment, or you may need to send a prayer request. You can do so by sending an email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com. That's three B's, bbbfohio@yahoo.com. Or by sending your letter to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Again, that's P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Now, this is part of our ongoing study of the Epistle of Paul to the Church in Ephesus, and we will open our study by including a segment in which I am showing our local BBF family and several visitors how to access these studies on the Internet. So we will now begin part one of our two-part study from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, titled The Whole Family in Heaven and Earth. And we begin with our instructions for online access to our Bible studies. First of all, I want you to be aware of our 24/7 radio station, internet radio station. It's bbfohioradio.com, and don't let that picture scare you off. I'll move over a little bit, so. But that was, I think, anniversary, wasn't it? Years ago, Mariah's about to say. Haven't changed a bit. You do notice a little more gray in the goat, though, huh? But anyway, you go here and you can click on this. If I can get this moved down here, there we go. You can click on this little listen button, and a player will pop up on your phone. But also, Jenny can tell you more. But there's a mobile app as well for different types of phones, and we have people all over the world using the mobile app and listening to, and instead of turning on Rush Limbaugh, they turn me on. Yeah. But let's see. Yesterday we had a pretty good size. There's 19 people listening, and it fluctuates. And but I've noticed that when during the regular business hours in the Philippines is when we go up, and we had 55 listening day before yesterday when we turn it on, and they love us in the Philippines. So that's great.
You should learn some Tagalog.
I've looked at it, and it's all Greek to me.
Tagalog.
Now, we want you to know that's one way you can turn on the messages. But that when you do that, it's like the radio. You can't control what you're listening to, and it just plays kind of random. It's an algorithm. But if you go on our website, you'll see the best undamned band in the land. It has our picture in there. And we try to let people know we do have convictions, unlike most professing Christians today. You know, we don't hate those we differ with. We simply love them enough to tell them the truth. We give contact information. And then when you scroll down, you'll see we have links to our GodTube channel, sermon audio, and YouTube playlists. This is the most recent message. By the way, are you got that?
You want
to yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
And the most recent study will be here, but it's actually the whole Ephesians playlist. And then as you go down, you'll see different playlists. And then as you go down further, you'll see links. This is our Genesis studies. We've had 76 30-minute studies, and we're going into Genesis chapter 40. So we're getting ready to go into the last 10 chapters of Genesis. You can also, then you go down, we tell a little bit about our fellowship, and we have links where you can watch videos, not all of them by us, but just videos by different Christians and teachers, basically explaining why we hold the views that we do. Yeah. And then you go down here and you see, you can click on this link here, There's almost 200 hymns that you can listen to and watch. They have the lyrics. We don't have the little bouncy ball, but they do have the lyrics. You can sing along. My grandma Doris sings along, and other people tell me they turn them on and sing along. But you click on any of these links, you go to the Gospel of Mark, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Book of Revelation, and we're close to 1,000 Bible studies available online free. All right, so let's get into our Bible study. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. And we have Brother Mark's brother Dave with us, and we're so thankful. And Brother Mark's son and granddaughter on their way in. We just pray for them to have safe travel. Brother Dave, would you mind opening our Bible study with prayer?
Sure. Father, we're grateful for this day, and as we join together in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, we give you the credit. We give you the glory, Lord, for you have called us and you have redeemed us. You have washed us. You have sanctified us to be holy and blameless, and we've united our hearts in the fear of God.
Yes.
And the fellowship of the saints. In the presence of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we ask for Pastor Greg to have the anointing power of the Holy Spirit upon him today as he delivers the word. Lord, may you speak through him. May you pierce our hearts, Lord God. May you discern the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. May you edify us, O Lord God, and strengthen us in our inner man, and fill us with the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, deliver us from all evil, Lord. Push back every power of darkness and quench every fiery dart of the evil one. Bless, O Lord, the radio ministry. Bless the many people that are listening today and on into the future, online. May you bring more and more to this ministry online, that many, Lord, will be edified, many will be saved, and many will be ready to serve you and to wait and expect your coming. And we now thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers today and sending your help from heaven and blessing us to be a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, Ephesians 3, 13 to 15. If you're there in the previous study, we saw that God is teaching the heavenly host. And that was a mind-blowing study. And he's doing it by the church, the true church, not the apostate church. Although I'm sure there's some lessons to be learned there as well. So let's begin in verse 13 and read our text. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now there's a comma there, but we're going to stop there, and we're going to study this passage, 13 through 15, as we then jump into the rest of the passage in our next study, just because there's so much here that if we continued on, we'd be here until Wednesday. And I just want to warn you about the text you just read. We have to begin by showing you how the new versions corrupt the text, because there's a reason why we use the King James Bible. And here's just one example of the perverted changes in the new versions. In Ephesians 3:15, when we finished our reading, it said, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That tells you there's how many families? There's one. There's one family. If you're not in that family, you're not in God's family. Amen? Well, in the ESV, and this is true, all the new versions I checked, this is true. The ESV, though, is the most popular one right now. English Standard Version is what that stands for. And it says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Do you know what that teaches? All paths lead to God. You know why it teaches that? Because there are apostates and unbelievers translating your new versions. When the King James Bible was put out, it was the last time that every translator was a believer. And ever since then, they've been using the Vatican corrupt text. It's like trying to take poison water and make good Kool-Aid out of it. It's not going to happen. I don't care how much sugar you put in there. It's not going to cover the poison. It may taste better, and you may die smiling, but you'll die. Amen? Amen. That's why, you know, We don't have Kool-Aid here. We're not Jim Jones. We're not going to have Kool-Aid. We have coffee, tea, and water. But that's really... But look closely at what it says. For whom every family in heaven and on earth. That destroys what God said. Compare the two side by side. We're going to see that there's one family and there's one name of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And this teaches the idea that there's more than one family and is used today by Christian universalists. Christian universalists are professing Christians who deny John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's not what Christian universalism sees. It teaches that no matter which way you go, we're all saved eventually. And they, what they teach is the opposite. The Calvinists teach limited atonement, which means that God only died for the elect. They go the opposite extreme and teach that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, your sins are already covered and you're saved, whether you believe or not. That way, you can be a part of any family. You can be a part of the Buddhist family or the Muslim family or the atheist family. It doesn't matter. You're going to be in heaven. You see what's going on? I mean, it's not an accident that the churches that used to be the churches of Jesus Christ, the churches that used to preach the gospel, are all going to hell. They're using a hell-bound book. They've got Bibles that have been perverted by non-believers, non-Christians. And they, even if they do give you an accurate translation, they're using a corrupt text. So, that's why we don't use the ESV, and we don't use any of the new versions. We stick with our King James Bible. And I just tell you, you need to learn these things, because evangelicals today are lied to by their professors and their pastors most of the time. And they will tell you that King James Bible believers are just stupid. And King James Bible believers are ignorant. And if they knew things, they knew the truth, they wouldn't stand where they do. And little do they know that I used to preach out of an NIV. What happened was I found out the truth. And when you find out the truth and what's going on behind these things, and that the love of money is the root of all evil, and the love of money is the root of all Bible translations since 1611. Amen. It's all copyrighted for cash. That's right. And you learn the facts and you find out we better stick to this book. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's see if I can get that off there. There's a reason, that's what I'm getting at. There's a reason why we're King James only. Now, understanding that you've got the book. Amen? We'll pick up our and continue our study knowing that we have the right book. And so we pick up in verse 13, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. It's simply a fact that some folks see bad news and they shut down. That's what Paul is saying here. How many of you know people like that? Through my going on 30 years, I'm just going to say that because I don't have to keep track. It's not exactly 30. I'm heading towards 30 years of ministry. And I think I'm heading out. It might be past it by now. I have to just sit and do the math. Well, it's 1990s when I went into the ministry. So what's that, 26 years? Okay. Yeah, I saved at 19. That was 19. Anyway, 26 going on 27 years of ministry. I have seen over and over people who, and it's hard for me to understand, to be honest with you, but they see bad stuff and they see how bad the apostasy is getting. So instead of standing and saying, I'm going to be a light in the darkness, I'm not going to go along with that, instead, they become part of the problem. They just quit. And that's what he means. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you. He's saying, you know, and it may be counterintuitive for some of you here today, but I'm telling you, this is what I see, I've seen so much of, is they see, look at all that Paul's going through. Look at all the trouble. Look at all the trial. Oh, and they're not even going through it. And they'll say, I just can't stand this. I was telling Brother Sean, somebody this week, I said, why can't we just go to church and not have any problems? Why does there have to be strife? And well, you know, a lot of it's self-inflicted. When you run your church like it's a business, you're going to have business problems. You run it like a franchise, you're going to have problems. You know, but even when the Church of Jesus Christ remains in the simplicity of the biblical model, they're still human beings. There's still going to be trouble. But also, it can come from without. And we in this country don't suffer the kind of trouble that comes from outside that others do. But it's happened. There's been times where we've had people come from the outside in and try to cause trouble. Now, I'm just going to tell you, that's when I put on the shepherd staff. And I... ouch! Now, if someone comes in and they're not in line with us on everything, and they're seeking, and they're listening, they're asking questions, they're praying about it, I don't have a problem with that. But when they come in with an agenda, and they think they're going to come in here and sow discord by... out. That's the way it's supposed to be. But see, again, that's the biblical model, but most churches want numbers. And they want higher offerings. So you can't increase your offerings in numbers if you're kicking people out. And just saying that, what? You kick people out? Yes, just like the Apostle Paul did. You have people come in like Hymenaeus, Alexander the coppersmith, out, Paul said. You have somebody coming in living in immorality. Let's just not say anything. As long as they're and they'll just, you know, the fella is having sex with his father's wife, and the Church of Corinth didn't want to hurt their numbers and their offerings. And Paul said, shame on you. You should hand that one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh so that the spirit might be saved in the day of Jesus Christ. Stop worrying about you having peace at all costs and having more numbers and financial blessings from people like that, and start standing on what's right. And so people see that. They're like, oh, the pastor had to tell somebody not to come back. Oh, there's just trouble. Woe is me. I have to witness such things. Yeah, that's what happens. And they quit. And that's why Paul said, you know, don't faint. You see, my tribulations, they're for you in the first place. Paul didn't do what he did, you know, because it was his hobby. There were better. He had much better things. I think Paul was a reader. I think Paul would much be, you know, bring my parchments and let me read a while, you know, and hang out with the boys. He liked to hang out with Timothy, you know. And he was heartbroken when people would leave him. You know, he'd rather be doing that. But you know what he did? He loved them enough that he was willing to suffer these tribulations. And there's few things worse in the ministry than seeing people become discouraged by your suffering and then quit. And I've seen it. I just was... just a few of the examples. You know how words trigger your memory? Greenlawn. I was associate pastor of a little church as an interim pastor, a little church called Greenlawn Community, and it was before Mariah was even born. And after a few months, I said, you know, we need to make a decision. If you want some other preacher to come in and pastor here, you need to do that or call me. Well, everybody act like they loved me, so I was kind of expecting it was just going to be... but there was a family in control, and the family didn't want to lose control. And so I found out that wasn't God's church, it's that family's church. And they had their vote, and I lost. Sadly, a couple of families in there quit. And last I heard, they'd never gone back to church. They knew what God was doing there, and they saw people get in the way, and they fainted. Listen, folks, I don't care what happens to Greg Miller. You're supposed to be serving Jesus Christ. What if you found out I was a fraud? What if you found out I was a polygamist with four families spread out all over the country? That stuff's happened. People sat under preachers and then found out they were crooks. They were fornicators. You know, they had porn addictions and things they were hiding. And then when it comes out, what do? I mean, I learned this early on. When I first got saved, you have the Jimmies. The Jimmies. Jimmy Baker, Jimmy Swagger. I saw people quit on the Lord. I said, the Lord didn't get a prostitute. Don't quit on the Lord because of a man. As much as I'm glad to know those people loved me. It sickened me to see them quit. It made me feel like I'd given them the idea I was the Savior. I tried to talk to them. I said, listen, this isn't about me. Same thing happened. I could go through story after story of what happened. The Masons down Soderdale and the Free Will Baptist denomination, the Heritage and other things that have happened to me. And when they came after me and they brought me down as far as my ministry in those churches, and then people would quit. Heartbreaking. I have the same desire. I'm not putting myself in Paul's shoes, but I'm telling you, I have the same desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you. I have health issues, and you may think God ought to heal Greg. God ought to just take that away from him. He loves the Lord. He's serving the Lord. That's really none of your business. That's between me and God. If God chooses not to heal me, first of all, there's no such thing. In a Christian's life, you're healed.
Amen.
It's just a matter of when.
Amen.
Amen. And then you say, well, what about the Christians that die? I'm healed.
Amen.
You can't lose as a Christian. Amen. The problem with Christians is they don't grasp hold of the promises and make them real.
Right.
And it's which is your glory. We should recognize the sacrifices made on our behalf and be grateful. You should realize Paul is doing that for you, Ephesus. And whatever you see me going through, or you see any Christian who's suffering tribulations, serving the Lord, but serving you, you should recognize they're doing that for me. It was like, remember David? He said, oh boy, what I wouldn't give for a cup of water. And some of his great men went over, fought, killed, got water and brought it back. And David said, this is the blood of men. I can't drink this. And he pours it out as an offering. He was grateful. So grateful that he couldn't even bring himself to drink the water that had been provided for him. Would that we're that grateful for things people do for us. Because, folks, I'm just telling you, we as our little church here, we have helped people. Many times. They're not here right now. We have helped people many times. We never advertise it. We never name names. We don't, have them come up and give testimonies about how wonderful we are. We do things as a church. Sometimes some of you know it. Sometimes some of you don't. Because that's what we're told to do in the Scripture. We're not to do it for glory in that sense. We've helped them, and as soon as they get the help and they don't need us anymore, gone. I quit. That's what people do. You know what I do? It's frustrating. But I just, Lord, maybe you want them somewhere else. Maybe you got something else for them. I don't understand why the people we help the most are the least grateful. I think I personally think it's the age we live in.
Amen.
But you think I'm going to quit over that? I'm not going to quit. And what I've gone through, and I've told you some of the stories, one thing you're not going to see me do is quit. Why? It's not because of Greg Miller. It's because I know who Jesus is.
Amen.
I have the power of His Spirit, the authority of His Word. Not going to quit. I hope I never have to prove it by taking a bullet, like a lot of Christians, even America, has done in the last decade. Kids in school had a gun put to their head. Will you deny God? No, I won't. Are you a Christian? Yes, I am. Boom. I don't want to do that. For this cause, what cause? For this cause that we've been talking about, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This cause is the declaration of the mystery of God and how that God has brought everyone together, Jew and Gentile. And we are now one family. But you have to be born again.
Amen.
Humanity is not the... Everybody says, we're all children of God. That's a lie of the devil. You are only a child of God when you're born of God.
Amen.
And you're only born of God when you believe how that Christ died for your sins and that He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scripture. He conquered your sin debt and conquered death, and then you repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're saved. Now you're a child of God. Amen. Until then, you're not a child of God. Mm-hmm. It may hurt to say this, or it may hurt for somebody to hear this. You're a child of wrath. You're a child of wickedness. You're a child of darkness. The devil is your father. Mm-hmm. Who? See what I'm saying? We have been conditioned by this New Age nonsense so much, even among Christian preachers on television, that we forget what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. For this cause, there's a cause. Even when others faint, we must stay true to this cause. What if everybody in this room quit except you? What would you do? I do not prophesy that. I do not predict that. I'm just asking you, what would you do? Because I've been in circumstances where I've been pretty alone. And I had to answer, what would you do? Day may come. And I've been here, and others, not naming names, others who are here and aren't here, part of this fellowship, have been where a spouse has said, either come with me this way and leave behind the Lord, or we're done. What are you going to say? We're done. I can say with my hand on the Bible and a court of law, did not do anything worthy of divorce, but I won't follow you there. And there's been people give up on the Lord in order to worship their spouse. Sometimes it's family, sometimes children. No, not here. Look what happened to David. David was criticized by his brethren. David's brethren were fainting. In 1 Samuel 17:29, and David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" It's the only illustration I can give you, folks, over and over when I told you these stories about these churches and the situation I've been in, and with the girls and their mother and my first marriage. What have I done? I've been there. Nothing worthy of a divorce. Nothing worthy of being kicked out of a pulpit. Nothing worthy of having them padlock the church doors on me. And my thing was, is there not a cause? I was all about doing what I was supposed to be doing, and I was blindsided by all this. That's how it's going to hit you, folks. This market down, you're going to be blindsided. Satan rarely advertises what he's about to do to you. And the wicked rarely advertise what they're about to do to you. You're just going to, one day, boom, it's up in smoke. Is there not a cause? So what did David do? He killed the giant. Aren't you glad that David didn't say, you know what? Can't make me mad. You people are ungrateful. Dad's always put up with you abusing me because I'm the youngest and you're just jealous. I'm leaving. And we never would have heard about David killing Goliath. You know, that's the thing about this. Sit back and think about this. Think about it. A lot of these people who faint, what they might find out when they stand before the Lord.
Solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station, available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.